Welcome to Just a Minute. Thank you, thank you. Hello, my name is Nicholas Parsons, and as the minute waltz fades away, once more it's my huge pleasure to welcome our many listeners, not only in this country, but around the world, but also to welcome to the show this week four exciting, talented, and humorous players of this game. And we are delighted, seated on my right, to welcome back that outstanding comedian, that fine player of Just a Minute, Paul Merton. And seated beside him, we have a veteran player of the game who contributes so much wit to the show, that is Clement Freud. And seated on my left, we have that outrageous and delightful, charming comedian, Julian Clary. And seated beside him, we have someone who's never actually played the game before, and that lovely comedian and writer, Helen Lederer. Would you please welcome all four of them? As usual, I'm going to ask them to speak on a subject that I will give them, and they will try and do that without hesitation, repetition, or deviation. And beside me sits Sarah Sharp, who's going to help me with the score. She'll blow a whistle when the 60 seconds have elapsed. And this particular edition of Just a Minute is coming from the Radio Theatre in Broadcasting House, London. And we have a wonderful, delightful, cosmopolitan audience who are dying for us to begin the show. Let's start with Paul Merton. Paul, here's a good subject to begin with: Dressed to Kill. Tell us something about that subject in this game, starting now.
In the case of Brutus, he pulled on his toga, put on his sandals, grabbed his knife, and set off for heading the back of Julius Caesar in the Pantheon, which, of course, was in Greece, and we're talking about Rome. Brutus is...
Clement Chalice.
Hesitation.
There was a hesitation.
There was, actually. Yeah. I didn't know what I was talking about.
I know.
I found I was talking beyond my education. It's a frightening thing.
No, no. But that was a Clement Freud correct challenge, so you get a point for that, Clement. You take over the subject, which is Dressed to Kill, and there are 46 seconds available, starting now.
You're usually told what colour tie to wear. Black, white, green, blue, occasionally, pink. But Dressed to Kill is an extraordinary thing to ask people who come to a reception which you may give to don, wear, put about their shoulders, glove, feet, socks, and Dressed to Kill.
You Paul, you've challenged.
Hesitation.
Yeah, there was a hesitation. I think he was running out of steam completely. Paul, a correct challenge. You have the subject back, which is Dressed to Kill. The 21 seconds available, starting now.
It's a phrase that's been around a long time, Dressed to Kill. I suppose it has a relation in the phrase the lady killers.
Phrase Clement challenge.
Repetition of phrase.
Yeah.
Yes, that's right. Well listened, Clement.
Could somebody else have it, do you think?
All right. Well, it wasn't
about Hellinger.
What about Helen, who's never played the game before? And presumably you get a point because you're coming in for the first time. And I tell you one thing right away, Helen. You've got that audience 100% with you right now. And you know probably more about this than the fellas. Tell us something about Dressed to Kill, 16 seconds, starting now.
As a new girl, I know it's best not to peek, but Dressed to Kill is a strange concept when trying to impress people. There is a rumour that Graham Norton was loaned a smoking jacket upon which he had to put it out.
In this game, whoever is speaking when the whistle goes gains an extra point. On this occasion, it was Helen Nedra, who's now got two, and she's way ahead of all the rest. into the first round. Julian, will you take the next round, or start the next round? The subject is Two Left Feet. Tell us something about that subject in this game, starting now.
I was once a finalist in a BB... Oh, that's a mistake. How awful.
Julian, you've challenged yourself, actually.
A spontaneous spasm. What I meant to say was British broadcast.
I know what you wanted to say, but as you challenged yourself, I have to ask you, what was your challenge?
It was repetition, and I'm fairly sure.
And hesitation.
That.
Well, it's a correct challenge. So I suppose by the rules of the game, I have to give you a point for that.
I will accept it, thank you.
And also congratulate you for listening so well. And you still have the subject. Two left feet. Don't continue to play it this way, because it might undermine the whole structure of Just a Minute.
I could just play with myself, couldn't I?
So you've got 57 seconds still, and you have another point because you had a correct challenge. Two left feet starting now.
Craig Revel Hallwood said that I had two left feet. I was outraged. My one left foot is very attractive, and I wouldn't mind having two of them. I've got lovely toes that taper down in a perfectly shaped form, and the arch has been much admired when I take my socks off at parties, which is the sort of place that I go to on a Friday night with the chums. After we've been binge drinking, we all go back to Bert's and we take off our shoes and we wiggle our toes.
Full challenge.
A repetition of take off.
Yes, you've been taking off a bit
shoes.
Too much, really. Yes. But the audience enjoyed all the taking off. And, Paul, you got him with a correct challenge. Another point to you. 28 seconds are available. Two left feet starting now.
Julian, the show that he appeared in was Strictly Come Dancing on British Broadcasting Corporation television, and he was a fantastic success in it. Not only because he was terpsichorean brilliant, but his quips to the panellists, the judges that sit there in judgment.
Helen Challenge.
I'm merely querying the meaning of the word terpsichorean. I know I'm a bit...
It's a Greek word for dance.
I knew that, and I'm so glad to have that clarified. Mm. Full apologies, Paul.
And terpsichorean is the adjectival version of it.
I thought that as well, yeah.
So, well, I'm glad you feel happier about that.
It's good to learn.
Right. Paul, it was an incorrect challenge, so you have another point. You have 15 seconds to continue with two left feet starting now.
I never remember the traumatic times because I can't afford to. My tortoise had two left feet. I took him to the vet. Already a slow animal was being tortured by snails whizzing past him. His two left feet were holding him...
Right. So Paul Merton was then speaking the whistle when gained that extra point. He's now in the lead, two ahead of Helen and three ahead of Julian and Clement. Helen, would you begin the next round? The subject is interior designers. Tell us something about those people in this game starting now.
Interior designers are a strange breed, some of whom are housewives who go on a course for one day, possibly, to learn mumbo-jumbo about the varied aspects of fabric formation. I personally have a passion for textures, velveteens, trisol, viscose and crepes, and can identify an Allegra Hicks from not a Nigella Lawson, but a Laura Ashley, akin to those food enthusiasts we all have at our dinner table who ask, is this a Delia when consuming a cock?
Challenged.
The repetition of Delia.
Yes.
Didn't I say Nigella? I'm sure I said Nigella. No, sorry, take it on the chin.
Delia.
I went mad.
It was a deviation because
sorry.
Delia is food and not interior design.
I take that point.
So, Julian, a correct challenge. You have the subject. You have 24 seconds. Interior designers, starting now.
I went out with an interior designer once and he gave my interior a very good seeing to. Ever coming round to my place and plumping up my cushions, feeling my curtains and passing judgment on the shade of my walls. It didn't last long. His name was Patrick. I said, you interior designers are all the same because I've been out with one many years prior.
Paul, you challenged.
Went out with one. Did we have that phrase before?
Yes, I think so.
Yes, you had. But not in this round, did you? You went out with somebody else in a different...
Oh, no, I'm thinking of what something Julian said 20 years ago.
It was a correct challenge.
Okay.
And you have 1 second. Ooh! Gain no friends, but got the subject. 1 second. Interior designers starting now.
Interior design...
Wait a minute. Clement, you challenged just before the whistle.
Hesitation?
Oh, shut up.
Seemed like quite a long
right,
wait.
Right, yeah,
me.
Give Clement a
and
bonus
to
point.
Delia.
Well, we give Clement a bonus point because we enjoyed what he did. But he actually, Paul, it was incorrect. You didn't hesitate and you kept going till the whistle went. And so you have another point because you were that. And 1 point for speaking when the whistle went. And Clement, it's your turn to begin. The subject is oysters. 60 seconds starting now.
Oysters are often thought to be an aphrodisiac, which I don't personally believe, although I had a friend who ate an oyster and had a stiff neck for weeks afterwards. Oysters come from many places, not only in England, but in Scotland, in the New World, Australian and American oysters are incredibly well known and delicious. They are mollusks. They are both female and male.
Julian Challenge.
Repetition of they are.
They are, that's right, they are mollusks, and you've said they are before.
They are.
Yeah, they are. So we'll listen to Julian. You have a correct challenge. You have 29 seconds. Oysters, starting now.
I once did a tour of New Zealand and I had oysters, 12 of them, every morning for my breakfast. They slipped down nicely with a bit of toast and they put a spring in my step. After breakfast, I would...
Helen Challenge.
There were two breakfasts, but maybe that's okay.
No, no, no. It's perfectly okay to have two breakfasts, but not in just a minute, because that's repetition. So you have a correct challenge. Well, listen, Helen, and you have 17 seconds. Tell us something about oysters, starting now.
I've never liked oysters because they are slug-like, formless, without skeletal aspects and worm aspects.
Julian.
Sort of hesitation, tripping over words.
And aspects, yes. Right. So, hesitation and repetition. 8 seconds. Julian, with you again. Oysters.
You can buy oysters.
Helen, you challenge.
There was a hesitation.
There was, yes. 6 seconds on oysters with you, Helen, starting now.
I know oysters are considered posh, and once when I was in a restaurant...
Paul Challenge.
Well, I don't know if oysters are particularly considered posh. They're sort of... They're more or less a seafood. It doesn't belong to any class system. You know, Nick Codd sort of go, well, don't go near the oysters. They're... Very snooty. No, I don't think oysters are posh. They have gone through phases where they've been eaten by posh people and poor people.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
But oysters themselves aren't posh.
Ah, yes, that's a very good interpretation, yes.
Sorry to interrupt, I was just saying considered posh.
Did you say that?
Mm. I said considered posh. I'm sorry to go on about it. Bang on.
Having been a little generous to you before, I think I must be fair to Paul, because that was a good challenge. Oysters in themselves are not posh. They are available for anybody, no matter what their social background. So, Paul, you've got him with 2 seconds on oysters, starting now.
I once shared a bucket of oysters with Prince Philip.
Right, Paul Merton was again speaking as the whistle went, gained that extra point as increased his lead at the end of that round, but Julian and Helen between them got quite a few points, and then second place equal, then it's Clement. Paul, it's your turn to begin, and the subject we have in front of me now, I don't know which way you're going to take this, the person I dread sitting next to me on the train. So could you tell us something about that subject in this game, starting now?
The person I dread sitting next to me on the train is the driver, because it means I'm sitting in the wrong part of the train. Otherwise, the Grim Reaper coming down the corridor and saying, "Is this seat free?" would also be a bit of a worry. I don't really know if he speaks like this, this tall representation of death, but the scepter in his hand, the skeletal face, the gleam in his eye as he looks down to me and says, "You'll never get past Red Hill." We all know that fear in our blood as we board one of these locomotives going from Westminster.
Clement Challenge.
You don't board a locomotive. You board a carriage which is pulled by a locomotive.
I did say I was sitting next to the driver.
I know. Clement, a correct challenge. You have the subject. 31 seconds starting now.
I dread sitting next to people who've been eating oysters and feel that they are posh as a consequence. Like Prince Philip, who has shared many buckets of those delicious mollusks that have no sex, but can be both male and female.
Helen, what's your challenge?
Deviation.
The deviation. He'd gone off the subject of the person he's sitting next to. And would you take the subject over 12 seconds? The person I dread sitting next to on the train, starting now.
Once, when I was returning from Bristol, I looked along the corridor and saw, to my horror, 5 people dressed in fluorescent leisure wear.
Paul Challenge.
What is this, 5 people? It's not one person.
I was just leading into the singular.
Sorry. Leading... I'm prepared to wait.
Thank you.
Incorrect challenge. Another point to you, Helen. The person I dread sitting next to on the train, starting now.
One person opposite me possessed a PlayStation crisp.
So, Helen Lederer was then speaking as the whistle went, gained a number of points in the round, and she has leapt forward, and she's only now one behind our leader, Paul Merton, and then comes Julian Clary and Clement Freud in that order, equal in third place. Julian, we're back with you to begin, and the subject we'd like you to take now is the gherkin. 60 seconds. There's nothing particularly funny in there, but we're delighted if you want to laugh at anything we say, because it does help towards the fun of the whole occasion, doesn't it? Thank you. The gherkin, Julian, 60 seconds starting now.
I've never been inside the gherkin, but a gherkin has been inside me. They're delicious. As I understand it, it's a huge, rather glamorous...
Clement Challenge.
Repetition of inside.
Yeah. That's right, inside the gherkin. And he couldn't have got the laugh without saying it twice, which is a pity. There we are. So, Clement, the correct challenge, 53 seconds, the gherkin starting now.
The gherkin is what the French call a cornichon, and the Germans Gurke, which is cucumber, and is an integral part of a sauce tartare, which is a mayonnaise...
Clement Challenge.
I'm really sorry to jump in, but because I'm learning as I go, I sense that deviation might be appropriate because we are talking about vegetables and cooking as opposed to public buildings.
There is the gherkin, the building in the City of London.
But that's not interesting.
It's not part of a sauce tartare.
Sorry.
It's probably worth clarifying that in case somebody's taken it down as a recipe, I hope. Probably worth clarifying.
Yes. Clement, you have the incorrect challenge, a point for that, of course. 40 seconds are still available. The gherkin starting now.
If you buy a tin of gherkins, it is very sensible to keep it, once you have opened it, in the refrigerator. Otherwise, the malt vinegar or whatever acidity accompanies those pickled... I've said pickled before.
Julian Challenge.
I should have challenged.
Yes, repetition of pickles.
That's right, yes. Well, and 25 seconds for you, Julian. Back with you, the gherkin starting now.
The gherkin in the city, for all its loveliness, is peopled by the people responsible for our financial...
Paul Challenge.
Oh, hesitation.
There was, because you thought you slipped up and you hadn't.
No. I thought I'd said people twice.
No, you said it's peopled by the people.
Oh, I shot myself in the foot.
Those elegant left feet you were talking about before.
Yes.
And you, yes, so, but you did actually hesitate, so Paul is correct. He has the gherkin, and he has 16 seconds, starting now.
The gherkin omelette is my favourite of all egg dishes. The recipe is simple. First of all, you take the first three floors off the building in the City of London, put it in a frying pan over medium heat for about 45 years until the concrete is al dente. Then you get hold of a magnificent piece of cheese, you throw it into the pan...
So, Paul Merton was again speaking as the whistle went. Again, that extra point has increased his lead, again, ahead of Helen Lederer, Clement Freud and Julian Clary in that order. And, Helen, we'd like you to begin the next round. The subject is wearing glasses. I should explain to our listeners I actually wear glasses, so I'm a bit nervous the way this is going. And you start now.
Once, when I was young, my sister wore glasses, which she didn't like. This gave me great pleasure. Once... Oh, no!
Julian, you challenge.
Repetition of once.
Yes. Don't draw attention to it, darling. Sometimes they can let it go. 52 seconds for you, Julian, on wearing glasses, starting now.
Wearing glasses can be a boon if you want to avoid eye contact with shifty-looking people. It helps, of course, if they're tinted glasses. Ordinary see-through wouldn't help in that respect. I once wore a lovely pair of rimmed...
Oh. Well, he hit the word rimmed and seemed to go off somewhere else.
You're quite... I think he didn't know...
Hesitation.
I don't think he knew where to go, actually.
No, I don't think he knew. I don't know.
Anyway, well, can't be too careful now.
Right, so, Paul, correct challenge for you, another point to you. 35 seconds, wearing glasses, starting now.
I've been wearing glasses since I was 19 years old. I wasn't particularly vain about it, because I couldn't see properly. I put them on and life suddenly became transparently obvious.
Helen, challenge.
There was a subtle P sound before the word transparent, but it's up to you.
A subtle P sound?
Yeah. It went like this.
We take our comfort breaks where we can. Yeah.
It went like this, transparent, but not as obvious.
No, Helen, it was a lovely try, but it wasn't correct. So, Paul, you still have the subject and 28 seconds wearing glasses starting now.
The monocle has always been considered a rather posh spectacle, but if you put two of them together, then it becomes glasses. Whoever invented these magnificent things that are able to make see all the fifth? They've been everything.
Helen, new challenge.
I know you're telling me off for being posh and
No, I never tell you off, Helen. Go on, give us your...
That are able to make see when I did my O-level English wouldn't have been allowed in the exam.
No, that's all right, darling. It was a deviation from grammar as we understand it or English as we normally speak it.
Thank you.
So you have a correct challenge and you have wearing glasses and you have 16 seconds starting now.
I wanted to wear glasses so much when I was a child, I went to the opticians and lied that I couldn't see the letters. I won the test by being granted pink plastic peeper coverers. This did not look well with my hairband hair grip.
You were very lucky there because you actually finished and you were challenged as the whistle went, so you get the benefit of the doubt and say you get that extra point for speaking when the whistle went. So Helen, you move forward. You're still in second place behind Paul and ahead of Clement and Julian. And Clement, we're back with you to begin. And the subject is, oh, this is nice, my bedtime routine. You tell us something about all the intimate things we reveal in this show. Well, we hope they'll be intimate. 60 seconds, starting now.
As you get older, your bedtime routine becomes increasingly complicated and takes more time. I brush my teeth first and have a bath, wash my hands.
Paul challenge.
It was a slight hesitation.
It was hesitation, yes.
At my age, a routine takes a while.
Yes.
Right. My bedtime routine is with you, Paul, now. 46 seconds, starting now.
They invariably say, OK, oh, I said it wrong.
Julian.
Well, do you call that deviation, breakdown?
Hesitation. 44 seconds for you, Julian, on my bedtime routine, starting now.
My bedtime routine takes precisely 1 hour and 45 minutes. I slip upstairs, waving to the assembled throng below. Then, in the bathroom, I take off my outer garments, slip into a negligee, and then begin the cleansing process. I start like Clement, with the oral area. Everything must be fresh and flossed and pristine.
Clement challenged.
Not like Clement.
Clement, we'll give you a bonus point because we enjoyed the interruption. So, incorrect challenge, and another point to you, Julian, and my bedtime routine is still with you. 18 seconds, starting now.
Once finished in the latrine, I lay myself spread-eagled on my queen size. Yoo-hoo, I say to the boyfriend, you can come in now. He huffs and he puffs by the time he...
There was a hesitation there.
There was a hesitation.
I was building up the drama.
Yeah.
Paul, you had a correct challenge. You have my bedtime routine, and you have 5 seconds starting now.
My bedtime routine invariably consists of saying to Nicholas, shall I turn the light off now? And he...
Turn the light off now. Right, yes. So what's happened? Paul got another point, speaking as a whistle. Wenders moved forward. He's in a strong lead. He's ahead of Helen Ledra and then Julian Clary and Clement Froy. 1 point separates those three, but a few ahead is Paul Merton. I think we're into the final round. Ooh. Let me give you the... I've given you the situation. And, Julian, it's your turn to begin. The subject we'd like you to start with is chippies. Tell us something about chippies in this game, starting now.
When I'm out on the lash with the boys, we always round off the evening by going to the chippies, where you can get a mouth-watering saveloy and some chips to go with it. Slasher is always first in the queue, and he likes it hot and steaming, and it's so misty in there, sometimes you might mistake it for a sauna. But no, it's the chippies.
Hesitation.
No, I don't think he hesitated.
I thought a bit when he went...
That was after you buzzed.
Oh, was it? Oh, OK.
No,
psychic
no,
challenge.
I think he was... to my mind, he was keeping going fairly
to your mind.
Well. Yes,
in my...
Well.
It's become a lottery then, is it?
You wicked so-and-so. Show you how generous I am, Paul, because I think they enjoyed that particular remark of yours. We give you a bonus point for the first.
He needs one. Yes.
He needs it, yes. Julian, incorrect challenge. You know the point. You have chippies, and you have 35 seconds starting now.
Go to the chippies up north, and they'll say, do you want gravy with that? Oh, I said, how disgusting. Get me out of here. I went straight from the chippies to the train. I went down south to another chippies.
Helen Challenge.
Try not to apologise. There were two wents. I know there's
more
words.
Yes, you went right down south. So, Helen, well listened. You've got another point. You've got the subject of chippies. You have 25 seconds starting now.
We weren't allowed to have fat fries in our house because we were posh, Paul will be interested to know.
Clement Challenge.
Repetition of we.
Oh, we.
Probably.
Too much we, yes.
Probably, sorry.
No.
And where?
Where, yes.
All right.
Well, don't rub it in. It's the first time she's played the game and she's doing very well. Yes, very well. And she's still ahead of you and... But you have a correct challenge, Clement. 19 seconds. Tell us something about chippies starting now.
The French have a number of ways of frying potatoes, which we would call chips sold in chippies. They are pompons neufs, allumettes, frites, gaufrettes, and...
Right, Paul.
There was a hesitation there.
There was a hesitation. It was an actually dramatic halt. So you have 3 seconds. Bring this show and this round to an end, and we're going to hear from Paul on chippies as we go to a resounding finish of this particular edition of Just a Minute. Chippies, 3 seconds, Paul, starting now.
Around the old Labour exchanges, you would see carpet...
So let me give you the final score. Clement Freud, who's often succeeded in coming out on top in this show, finished actually in a very strong fourth place. It was a magnificent fourth place. He was only just behind Helen Ledra, who did extremely well, finished in a very strong third place. Only 1 point behind Julian, who's triumphed once or twice in the past. But the man who's triumphed before and has managed to triumph again is Paul Merton. So congratulations, Paul. So in any ways, we can say... Thank you to these four fine players of the game, Paul Merton, Clement Freud, Julian Clary, and Helen Ledra. I thank Sarah Sharp, who's helped me with the score and blown her whistle so delicately. And also, we thank our producer, Claire Jones. We're indebted to Ian Messiter, who created this amazing game. And we're grateful to this lovely audience here at the Radio Theatre, a broadcasting house who cheered us on our way magnificently. From our audience, from me, Nicholas Parsons, and the team, goodbye. Tune in the next time we play Just a Minute. Yes!